But I was impressed at the memorial this week to preach about cremation. Should we not be cremated? Now, this is possibly a tender subject for some folks. I don't know. I don't know what you have in the background for relatives or friends that were cremated or not cremated or buried or whatever. I don't even know visitors. I don't know. I don't know enough about some people's past to say something or not say something. You might wonder about that sometime, but I don't mean to make light of this thing, but it's a strange thing, cremation. And like I'm learning, I look up in some things and check out some churches and places, and I find out that there's pretty strong people against it, or there's people that are pretty strongly against it. And then, and yet when they're all done saying it, they say, well, it really doesn't matter. Well, if it really doesn't matter, why are you so against it? Well, is there a reason to be against it? Well, the only reason I can think of to be against it better be in here. That's all. You know? And if it's the cheapest way to go. That's what everybody finally says. Well, I just can't afford to do it the other way. Well, listen, if it meant all the difference in the world to you and God, I would get it, I'd put it on a credit card or something. You know? Or if it's not that important, we can do that at Louis' campfire if anybody wants to do that. Get that thing stoked up pretty well, you know. You know. That did start the fire a little better. So, anyway, I thought I come home. I need to get this thing down because I've had people ask me, "What do you think about cremation, Pastor? Do you think we should do that or not?" And I know what I thought. I know that it presents a bad type. You're dying, you're dead, okay, but you're going to get, your body's going to be brought up someday, and it's going to go resurrect to the Lord, resurrected body. That's a neat thing. Everybody gets buried, you know, and they bury you with the face toward the east because that's where the Lord is going to come up and all that stuff. But right away, I start thinking, what about these folks that have been eaten by sharks? What about the martyrs? You know, what about a guy that gets in a car accident and they can't even identify anything? And what are we going to do about that? Does that person... And we'll talk, so I thought, well, I wonder what the Bible says about cremation, you know? And so I started off where I always start, on the Internet. I thought I'd dig up some truth. Now, if this is an uncomfortable subject for you, it won't be uncomfortable someday. You'll have to experience it one way or the other here. So I did some looking up on what they do in cremation. What do they do when they cremate you? And I'm surprised they don't spell it C-R-E-A-M-A-T-I-O. I wish I couldn't find it at first. Because I ever been creamed? Ever had an accident? Boy, he creamed me. I would think cremation would be the same spelling, but it's not. It's C-R-E-M. So 1,400 to 2,100 degrees is what the burner gets to. That would take care of your... I mean, that'd be instant hamburger, you know, just in and out. Okay, serious stuff. I'll try. The direct flame reduces one's body to 3 to 9 pounds, approximately 5% of your original body mass. Now, ladies, you want a diet? You're going to be down to 3 to 9 pounds someday in your life if you do the cremation thing. The cremationites, the funeral director people, say the cremation is merely a hastening of the natural decaying process. It just speeds it up. Okay? Now, this is interesting. After the initial burning, the remains are run through a mechanical grinder to reduce the bones to dust. How many knew that? Honestly knew that? Okay, nobody participates. How many honestly did not know that? Some of you still aren't going to participate. How many are not here this morning? You don't want to be here. Take care of it. Yeah. Okay, so they run through mechanical grinder. So it's not ash, it's dust. It's bone dust. And it was funny, at the funeral home the other day, behind the pulpit here was a little soap squeezy bottle. It's got the little flip-top thing, the little plastic flip-top droppers. It's got holy water on it. And right next to that was this used pillbox full of ashes or something. And I want you to know, folks, I have grown, I have changed a lot in my life. Because 5 or 6, 7 years ago, I would have brought that up in the sermon. Now, you know, folks, this holy water. Oh, I'm sorry, I spilled holy water all over. You know, people are really caught up in religion, aren't they? I mean, there it is for anybody to use. It's amazing stuff. And you're going to see the cremation is an issue that really ought not even be an issue. So back to the thing, it's not ash, it's dust, it's bone dust. Now, this is an amazing fact. They say, the cremationites, there's always a residue left in the grinder. So it isn't just your relative that's in the bone dust. Probably Frank and Betty and Mary. Who were the first couple of people before Henrietta went in? Oh, they're in there too. So it's a strange thing. It becomes such a reverence thing, our death. You know what I think it is about why we don't want to be cremated? We still just think too much of our bodies. We just do. I would like, when I die, here's my funeral wish here, okay? I don't want to be cremated. I want to be put into a casket, and I want a web camera put in there. I want you to be able to access my coffin on the inside with an automatic light that comes on when the web camera comes on, and you can watch the decaying process. You know that you can click on corn.com or something like that, .com, and a farmer's got a web camera out there showing his corn growing in Iowa. Have you ever seen that? Yeah, it's very exciting. You just look at this thing, and you go back the next day, and the corn's about, you know, yay, how much higher? After about a month, you realize, oh man, the corn's actually growing. So a webcam in my coffin, website. Because we're going to end up just like we're cremated. It's just going to be a bunch of bones laying there. Just happens to be in a cremation, the bones are ground up. Now, you would think that's all it would take for us to realize this cremation thing is not a big deal. But I'll show you some stuff in the Bible here. Two more facts I think are amazing. In 1963, the Pope lifted the ban of cremation for Catholics. How many years have Catholics attended cremations? And it gets even better. In 1966, the Pope finally allowed priests to officiate at cremation ceremonies. I get out my Fox's Book of Martyrs. Those priests have attended cremation ceremonies for hundreds of years. Don't try to convince me that you're just now giving them permission. Man. What do they do with John Wycliffe? 44 years after, that's the Bible translated guy, 44 years after he died, they dug up his bones now it says, and crumbled them up and scattered them into the river. They thought that burning of the bones would destroy the soul. Now that's the kind of church people that I want to love me. So anyway, it's an amazing thing. I think my biggest observation is the dust that's in the machine. It's somebody else. You ladies want to do a cleaning job, call up the crematoriums and ask them if you can be the machine cleaner. Would that bother you? You know? I don't know. Just bone dust. Well, what we're going to do here this morning, I'm going to give you, I don't know, 10 or 11 arguments against cremation. And nobody, I'm not saying you have to cremate. I'm not saying that this is the way you ought to go. Like I say, I think a testimony of a funeral, the burial, there's the casket laying there and the whole thing kind of represents the preaching that Jesus Christ was buried, rose again, all that kind of stuff. But in hell can just be a type of, it's just going to hell. But we ought to know by this Bible that that isn't what it is. People can make up what they want it to be. Here's number one. Cremation has a heathen origin and purpose. I just put a new one in. Oh, we got to do it for the video, don't we? It has a heathen purpose and a heathen origin. Because what they're doing is they're getting ready, they're preparing for reincarnation. That's the purpose why they believe in cremation. That doesn't work all well. So, to do cremation is to support something that has a heathenistic origin. Okay? Well, don't you do Christmas? Well, yeah, well, that's got heathen origins. How about Easter? Easter has heathen. The way they celebrate Easter, it's a heathen, practice. Amen? How about going to church on Saturday or Sunday? What's the argument there? That's got a wrong purpose here. How about what's today called? Sunday, sun dog, sun god or something. Monday, mun dog, mun god or something. You know, we got so much heathen origin and purpose in our day-to-day affairs, we couldn't even dare claim that thing. Romans 14, Colossians 2:16 takes care of that excuse. So don't anybody tell you that if you do cremation, you're doing what the heathen did. Nah. They do it because they believe that if they burn everything up, then the soul is burned and they can come back as a dog or a cat or a skunk or a movie camera or something. Reincarnation, that's what that's all about. Well, I'm not going to come back. If I could come back, I'd come back and haunt y'all, but I can't do that. Amen? That's not a good excuse at all. Scratch that one. Here's my favorite one. There is nothing Christian about cremation. There's nothing Christian about cremation. God's people have always practiced burial. Abraham, Genesis 25, he was buried. Sarah, Genesis 23, she was buried. Rachel buried Isaac. Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, Eleazar, Samuel, David, John the Baptist, Ananias, Stephen. We're all given for examples here on the fact that this is, these guys were all buried. Well, I started to look them up, though. I thought, well, let's not fall for the here's what somebody says thing. Let's look them up. Well, okay, if we are supposed to follow the example of early Christians, which is what this whole point is about, Abraham is buried in a cave. Oh. Well, okay, then I guess I can be buried in a cave. That's all right. Jacob wasn't buried for 70 days. Let's try that one. Joseph wasn't buried for 400 years. He was carted around for years. And he said he was going to visit. I'm going to come back and visit you. You're going to go up and visit you. Yeah, he did. His bones. And he said his bones. Let's look it up. Let's go here to Genesis. Let's look at we'll check this one out. Go to Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 50. And there's a key to this whole thing. You're going to be leaving here this morning if you stay for the whole thing. You're going to be leaving here this morning knowing that cremation is no big deal for a Christian. I'm not saying you have to be cremated. I'm not even trying to encourage it. If you got the money and the insurance to go for this fancy funeral stuff, go for it. You're not going to care at the time. If you haven't got the money, why go into debt over something that nobody cares about except the guy you're paying? And get the preacher to come in and tell the true story about what's going on for your funeral. Your family wish they never came in the first place. Or they'll get saved. So I'm not trying to do that. What I want you to see this morning is a couple things. One is the Bible is still our final authority here, even over cremation. The second thing is I'm going to show you how somebody who has their Baptist Bible-believing belief not quite all the way there. And if we're not careful, we can look at this little blurb right here, which is written by somebody's encyclopedia, and it will say, well, yes, we're supposed to follow the example of these people. They'll list the scriptures, and that's all people will do is they'll look at the scripture references, and they'll think that's true. That's Bible. How many times do you look up the actual reference when somebody says a scripture reference? Do you ever get letters from somebody, I love you, signed Frank, Proverbs 12:6. How many of you look up the verses somebody slaps on a little letter? You ought to look them up. And if you send somebody a letter, don't just send them the reference. You know they're not going to get out their Bible and look that up. Write the verse out. Same thing right here. We're going to look at this thing with Joseph just for a couple of minutes. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. Because they'll go back to Joseph and they will show, look at this. Joseph, they buried him. He's our example. Okay, if he's our example, let's look at this for an example. Genesis 50, verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. Amen. I'm glad. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 13. Okay, so he was embalmed and he was put in a box. Exodus 13, 19. You probably weren't expecting this kind of a sermon here this morning. Neither was I. Exodus 13, 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from you. What is he carrying? What are they carrying around with him? Bones. What do you end up with at the end of cremation? Bones. I don't see a problem here. Let's go on to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verse 32. Joshua 24, 32 says this, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground. So they buried what? Bones, and they buried him in a certain place. And a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the heritage. So there's a special place that they wanted his bones put. What is cremation? Bones? What do you usually do with cremation remains? Well, either you go to the river that you used to fish in, you go up to the mounds you used to camp in, you go to somebody's yard you used to hate. You know, there's something that you do with these bones. There's a place you want to put your bones forever and ever and ever. You know, I love this lawn. I love my garden. If I die in the next, which wouldn't surprise me, grind me up, if you don't want to do the webcam thing, grind me up and sprinkle me on my beans. You know, we have a special place where you want to be buried. Bill wants to be buried in a boat with ashes sunk, I'm sure. You know, Jerry will probably want to have his ashes sprinkled on a Boise. You know, Jake is some asphalt somewhere, so when Mim drives by, yeah, look at Jake, right in that little stretch right there, you know. You know, that's what we do. So this example, to me, is an example, other than the actual burning process, the result is still the same. Bones being buried, well, it meant something to him. Lewis, I know where you want to be buried. Your bones will be scattered. You know? Just don't go down this road, okay? I just know we're all going to want your bones, but that's what it is, see? Here's an example in the Bible. He tells us to follow example, okay? Samuel, his bones, Bible says, bones were buried in his home. Okay, leave Louis on the mantle, you know? Put Marcy in the kitchen, right above the sink, right there. This is, you know. Put Beck in the laundry room. This is where she spent all her life. She might as well spend eternity in here. You know? Now, it's almost mocking, but it's silly because we are so against something that really is just no big deal. And we'll get to some more of this here at the end here. John the Baptist, he's buried without his head. So, okay, go for that one, you know. And Stephen, it says there in Acts, they made great lamentation over him. That Stephen should be our example, and he was killed. They really sorrow. They really whined. Well, if I remember my stuff correct in 1 Thessalonians 14, we're not supposed to have that kind of sorrow like those that have no hope. We ought not be whining and crying. We ought not to have great lamentation over somebody that's dying. Man alive, when Lewis dies, he goes to be with the Lord, and he's no longer in pain. Now, we'll take care of Sue best we can. She's got family anyway, and if they reject her, we'll take care of her. But man, Lewis is with the Lord. What are we doing standing here crying, having great lamentation? We can't use Stephen for our example. That funeral. So the whole go to these guys for example, that goes out the window. Because the example they give us is actually bones only. How long does your flesh last? Well, I don't know. You'll find out when I die. Just turn to paulsondead.com, and you can watch him slowly decay. Hey, Tyler, come here. Look at this one. Look at his left eye. Ooh, that's going deeper than the other one. You know, it's gross stuff. But death is just, it's our flesh. It's our bodies. We are too in love with our bodies. We are. Okay. And God will take care of that. Let's go to another one. So much for the example. Well, the point was made here that these guys carrying Joseph around carry his bones in the coffin. That would have been easier to do them in the little bones and a little vial, but they didn't do that. And because they didn't do that, then we shouldn't do that. Well, he's missing the whole point. Those are still bones. Whatever they're in is not the point. They're still bones. We're not there. Joseph was not there. Okay. Let's look at another one here. Yeah, we took care of that one. Do it the easy way. Word is cheap. Amen. Well, let's do this here. Let's look at... here's another one. The burial looks forward to the resurrection. Let me just read you this statement. This is a weird statement to me. The reason God's people have always been careful to practice burial is not difficult to understand. We believe in a bodily resurrection. Romans chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No doubt, amen. Our bodies are going to resurrect. Yes, he says, the buried body will decompose in time. Yes, there are occasions in which Christians die in ways which render burial impossible. He just took care of his answer. It's not a sure thing. When a martyr died, that was glory. They got a crown of life for that. Got a great reward for dying as a martyr. Listen to this. In that same paragraph, it is our certain hope that the same individual will be raised in the same body, only changed. He better do a big change. And what about those people that do not have a body? What do you mean, what about those people? Everybody that's died by now does not have a body. Amen? Their bones laying there, or they're just dust in somebody's grass or whatever. I don't know of anybody that has a body in those boxes anymore. You drive by those cemeteries, maybe some of the fresh ones, the grass hadn't grown yet, but all the deep ones back there, it's just a box full of bones and gook, hair. I put a long fingernail, because don't you keep growing or something after you die? I think I heard that for a while. That you don't? Okay. Maybe that's just a rumor thing. Hair keeps growing, maybe. Something kept growing, I thought. Maybe not. Probably their love for themselves. I don't know. But that's a strange thing to think that the body they went for them, for this guy who this guy to say what he says about God needs this particular body. That's just crazy. Because there isn't anybody's body still out there. It was strange to me because I look at the picture that Catherine had of our marvelous lady from Oddfell, just a neat old lady, and to think that what I'm looking at right there, are you ready for this? You hold your stomach. Went through the grinder. That's reality. So we look at that picture, oh, that's Mrs. Oh, what a neat lady, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the lady was neat, but that body she was in has been ground to dust. And we ourselves are inside here. We'll get to more of that in a couple minutes. So that's a crazy thinking. That God needs this particular body to get his work done. He's just going to change it. That's a crazy... And then we talked here about also the physical body is called the seed. So farmers all know that when you plant the seed has to die before it grows. Well, I don't know of anything coming out of my dead body. A, I'm in a box. B, if you plant me in the ground out there without a box, there'll be nothing but weeds that come out of my little section. There might be some grass, but that's not the point. He's talking here about that's going to be a... Nothing's going to grow from this. I'm surprised that when people try to go to the book to try to prove something they know is not necessary, but they try to lean you towards that. They're trying to lean people away from cremation. I'm not trying to lean you toward it either. I'm just showing you the Bible takes care of it. If you've got a family, a husband or wife that wants to get cremated, you don't need to feel bad. If you can't afford a good funeral and a good party and all that stuff with all the hoopla, go for the flame. you know? There's not a problem with that thing. Okay, let's look at another one here. God's people have always buried their dead with this magnificent hope burning in their hearts. We will see that brother or sister again in that same body, only changed. There's no body out there to be changed. We've already made that point. Let's look at another one. God practices burial in Deuteronomy 34. Let's look at Deuteronomy 34. Maybe you don't have to go there. You know what's in Deuteronomy 34. Who dies? Moses. Now we know in Jude, somebody goes after that body. Okay, so here's a body that God still needed. Why? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 11. He still used them. Elijah, same thing. Nobody, nobody, to, nothing to rot into the ground and such. Where's Moses' body? Well, it was still there apparently, but God needed that thing and pulled it up, and there he is in Revelation 11. So, that's no big deal. God wasn't going to give up those bodies. He kept them. So that's why he practiced burial. Is he, am I going to come back in Revelation 11 with Moses, Elijah, and Paulson? I'll be in the one with the accordion while those two guys sing. How's that? Would that be all right? Maybe I get to do the fair booth in Revelation. That'd be Jerry and Bill's job, Ben Louie and everybody here. You get my drift this morning? This uncomfortable thought about cremation. We have an answer for people. It's okay. But why is it okay? Because you end up at the end of cremation, you're just about a year in advance of what you end up with in a coffin. That's all. And it's brought up into smaller proportions. Why should the funeral directors in the state make all this money? $17 for a copy of something.
Right.
Man, if I get 17 bucks for a copy, I'll have a copy business. All the papers I give out to you guys, 7 bucks a sheet. 17 bucks a sheet. Pay up, okay? Not the box either. Pay right here. It's amazing. Well, this is it. We can just quickly talk about this. And cremation is a sign of God's curse. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Kings, Chronicles, and Revelation and Acts. Yeah, what about the martyrs? Like I said, there's no sign of a curse there. For a person not to have a proper burial was considered a dishonor. 1 Kings chapter 21. Right, the Old Testament is all physical kingdom. There's a spiritual kingdom today. This is the lady that we, I'm getting better, the lady that I did Thursday, she wasn't there. You know, she wasn't there. She had an honorable burial. She was gone with the Lord. Who cares what they do with this chunk of flesh? You know? Okay. Another point here, the body belongs to God. Then they go to Romans 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? No, you're not such a body as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? When you're in here, Christ is in here with you. Amen? No doubt about that. When you die, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home with in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Okay. So we're here, but God's in here from that standpoint. I say, wouldn't rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's not here anymore. He doesn't want this body. Why do you think that we got spiritually circumcised? He couldn't come in until that soul was separated from that flesh. Now, if a person wants to believe in soul sleep, now they got a problem. I would ask somebody who believes in soul sleep, what about these people that burnt to nothing? What about these people that are eaten by sharks, and if you believe in soul sleep? There's no body there for the soul to be sleeping in. Where's this soul? So do they have a funeral where they box and they open up, there's nothing in there but the soul of Henrietta's in there? How'd you get Henrietta's soul in there? Oh, we just told the soul to get in there. You know? It's silly. So soul sleep is destroyed. The whole teaching of soul sleep is destroyed by the concept of death. You can't be in there. Because that body is going to rot into something else. In bones, you know. When you run a Seventh-day Adventist through that grinder, is the soul in that little veil, is that the soul in that little vial now? Sleeping in there? Hello? You know? Maybe gross and weird, rude, but it's silly. It's death thing. I got no problem with being dead. It's the dying thing that bothers me. You know? If I need to, I'll ask the crematorium guys, listen, at the hospital, can you run me through that grinder today? You know, just kind of shoot me full of Novocaine. Give me some of that dental happy gas, you know. And just start with the head. Don't go through the feet first. I couldn't even do an MRI or MRI head first, maybe. But run me through the grinder. What's it going to do? You know? I personally believe those martyrs went up to be with the Lord before their body fell into ashes. I personally believe that the Lord was, remember Psalm 23? He's going to carry you from that to there. I believe those guys are tied on that cross. How else can you raise your left burning arm and point to a Bible unless the Lord's not doing that with you? How can you stand? How can you be tied to a flame and be burnt so slowly without having a 1,000% relationship with the Lord? I mean, I don't think we couldn't do it today. We got, I can't do this. I got to be at the mall tomorrow. There's a great special tournament Friday. We got so much on our mind that isn't important. To think that we could be burned at the stake. We can't even consider being burnt after we're dead. And then here it talks about Jesus was buried, and he's our great example. Yeah, is that why we get baptized? Is it because Jesus was baptized? Are we supposed to follow Christ? Or are we supposed to imitate Christ? NIV says to imitate Christ. I'm not going to imitate Christ. I'm having a harder time following him. I'm just learning in the last couple months, last year or so, that we need to follow Christ by following Paul. And all that does is kick our small crowd down, or even a smaller crowd. But that's the truth. So Jesus, yes, he is our example, but he is our rightly divided example. And he tells us what to do. And as far as the body is concerned, it's not a big deal. Not at all. Now, those are just some things about why people would go against cremation. My favorite thing is the fact that cremation is still ending up with bones, so it still ends up with the same product, so what's the deal? But let's look at some other verses here. Let's get your Bibles again. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's finish this thing up here this morning, probably ahead of time. Oh, majorly. Although we are not done yet. And let's look at some scriptures. It might help a little bit. Like I said, I'm not trying to make you be cremated or anything. I did read where if you have a cremation ceremony, you can actually be in the room where they run your body into the door of the oven. Have a little ceremony there, and you can watch, you know, Jerry be slid in the door there, you know, all that stuff, you know. I think that'd be a strange thing, but that's why Jerry likes it so well. You know, it's just like looking at that picture of our sweet lady and realizing that body right there just went through the grinder. Ah. Now, next time you ladies are grinding meat, you can just, well, that's Uncle Jim. You know, whatever. You want to go up and get a career, Tyler? Be a cremationite. You know, the old days, I can't imagine today. The old days, they used to just bang them with hammers. Didn't have machines. They still pounded them. Ever been pounded to a pulp? That's where that comes from. Pounded me to a pulp, he did not. I'll be pounded to a pulp, I'll take it down to the little machine. And you ever go by the funeral homes, they got this great big huge chimney. That isn't for wood. You know. And they have ceremonies, probably we can sit there and you can watch, they have prayers and stuff when the smoke's going up and you can see the ashes and all that. You know, there she goes. Just crazy stuff. One of the comments my son has always made to me, he says, Dad, you talk about death for your church people quite casually. Yeah. Why not? I was nervous at this memorial Thursday. I was nervous. Why would you get nervous? Because those people are sitting there, they look like y'all this morning, just kind of staring at them, you know? But I know that you can take what's being said. And I don't have the flash, but those folks don't even know what I'm talking about. I try to make it so simple. Some of them are just distraught. And some of them are so caught up with junk of this world, you know? I don't know if I've ever had to do a funeral. Never had to do a funeral. I don't, or I know the person denied the Lord for salvation. Never done one of those. I don't know if I ever want to. Because I would either have to lie to them or lie to God. If I lie, if I'm not going to lie to God, they're not going to want me to do the funeral. Let's use Uncle Henry's example, how much he denied the Lord, hated the Lord, never went to church, never read his Bible. Let me tell you what's happening to good old Uncle Henry. This could happen to you. They're not going to want that kind of a funeral. What was it, a couple years ago, a guy down in Alabama or something was beat up after the funeral because that's what he preached? All the relatives got together and just beat the Pope out of the... beat the preacher to a Pope because of what he preached at the funeral. There's some things you just won't do for money, amen, and that's lying about God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What is this right here? Who's getting the curse on this one? Let's go up, the sweat of thy face. Every time we're sweating, that's our curse, man. Why you ladies want our curse, I haven't figured that out for anything, but oh well. You don't see us trying to get pregnant. We know better than to do two curses. One's bad enough.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Anyway. And whenever I've ever typed it on the internet, that usually just makes ladies mad. I don't know why that would make you so mad. You are doing both curses. Don't get mad at me. You know, some ladies have to. I know that. But men are trying to get pregnant. I know they're trying to make that happen in this day and age. It is. It's sick. It's something with a K at the end, too. The sick. Ecclesiastes. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, Ecclesiastes is always a good book to go to when you're depressed. Because it'll lift up yourself, and then it'll destroy it. Here's a guy that wanted everything the world had. He went out and got it, came to some pretty good conclusions. Could save you teenagers a lot of hassle if you just believe that book. But no, you want to go out and learn it yourself, have a good time. And I say that because how many of us have tried to do that? Okay. Well, wouldn't you think that you kids have got two reasons not to do that? One is the Bible says, here's what it's going to be like, get everything you want, and then look at us. You want what we got? Yeah. Probably good I didn't hear whatever that was. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. This is one joyous guy. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? I am no different than Hershey and Beauty, body-wise. My soul is a whole different body. My body, what are people doing to their dogs and cats nowadays? They're having funerals. They're even they're paying money, big money, to have cremations and all the hoopas, fancy coffins and the whole thing for their dog and cat. I had a hard enough time spending money to make them better. Both of our dogs got $50. When they ran out of $50, they died. But then David had to help for Beauty, you know. Hershey just took Hershey to the vet one time, said, and this vet wanted to put Hershey on an IV. Keep him overnight. I said, doctor, this is a dog. Give him one of those all-purpose dog shots. I'll take him back home again. You know, took out a bullet. And I think Hershey saw it. The next morning, she was feeling better. And he wanted to put her on an IV. That was my dog. That was Hershey. That's even worse than a dog. We are no different. Except we have a soul. Major difference. Oh. So, sometime when your wife or your husband says, you know, honey, Come on, we're going to go down and we're going to visit the funeral home. Oh, that sounds exciting. Come on, come on. You know, into that little room. Oh, where am I going? You know, lay down in here. Oh, okay. We're just a dog. What did God consider us before Jesus Christ came along?
A dog.
His own people he didn't. His own people were his own special chosen people. But a Gentile was a rough, rough, bark, bark. If they didn't take, when they took Jesus Christ as their Savior, things changed. This didn't. Not at all. Let's look at John chapter 3. A couple more verses, we'll be out here by 1 o'clock. Such sacrilegious, such a bad attitude. This sounds like the old Paul says. No, this is just how dumb this whole issue is. Cremation. Now, I don't mind being put in a coffin. I think it'd be kind of fun. I've always said, when I'm in my coffin and you come and view me, I want to have a glass of water in my left hand, because I used to take back a glass of water every night. I wanted to go, oh, God, that's so sweet. There's my water right there, you know. I want my Bible in my other hand for David to know that I'm willing to die for this book and try to teach it and preach it and all that kind of stuff. Amen. And I want to have a smile on my face when my mother-in-law comes to look at me. Because that's the only time she'll come. It's for my funeral. And to make things even better, I want to have a tape of me preaching. Coming out of that coffin. Now, if there's any way I can get a hold of somebody that can make that mouth move. You know. take your Bible, then turn. Well, wouldn't that be marvelous? She's running out of there, you know. I would enjoy that. But, you know. There's some music I should have playing that would make everybody cry, you know. And I should have pictures up there with my perm and all that stuff so people could get a look at my history of my life and realize, oh, look at how much he loved children. Well, I wouldn't be there to enjoy it. But you know what I don't want? As I don't want a lie to be put forth at my funeral or my memorial or whatever y'all decide to do if I'm still here long enough to get that plane. Because somebody needs to know where I'm at. They need to know how I got there. And you don't need to be afraid to tell somebody. Yeah, but it's family. Probably the only time some of those family members ever even heard a Bible preached anymore. Some of those teens in those ceremonies and those memorials, that might be the first time they even heard the word Jesus in a proper usage. And they look at you like, what are you talking about? And you want to do one of two things. You want to take this Bible back and say, listen, can I tell you something? Or just want to walk back there and just smack them. The world has got you, buddy. Open your eyes. Boom. After they quit swelling. It's an amazing thing what you see in the faces today. And that really disturbed me to think that because what we've been talking about lately is how much in awe we need to be at this Bible. These words, it's rightly divided. The letters and all that stuff, it's just working on me. And to sit, and we have a hard enough time, but to sit and watch these people on memorial get absolutely nothing out of the Bible. Nothing. Nothing. And then some idiot comes along, Vince Fish Gills or something, and sings this stupid song, and they all start crying. And I don't know who these other two butterflies were, but they just sang real purty, way up in the clouds about ringing the bell, the golden bell. Everybody's just crying like it's like what's happening here. What about this thing? Where's the tears for joy for your mother went to heaven, you know? John chapter 3 verse 6, is that where we are? John chapter 3 verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is what? Okay. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There are two different statuses there. You need to get your spirit. You need to be born again. Man, this is a strange thing. Look at verse 63 of chapter 6. John chapter 6, one of my favorite chapters. Verse 63. John 6, 63. And there's only four words that really make a whole lot of application of this sermon in that verse. What four words are they? The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. Look at Romans chapter 7. Boy, I wish I could have all the money I spent on my flesh. I mean, just an underarmed Jordan alone, I could probably buy a new car. And makeup for you ladies. I don't do makeup. You know. I may put on a dress one time, but I never do the makeup thing, okay? And I was even going to do, I got a bleeding spot on my left, on my right earlobe, and from out there, I bet you it's like I've got an earring on, doesn't it? Yeah, well, I should have make up that thing, I guess. Hoping to gain bad ideas. I'm not a former earring wearer, you know, just so you know that. Amen. Yeah, I'm glad you, yeah. Did you not know that before? So I didn't wear earrings. Not even the coupon jobs. I remember when Beck went to get it. I can't believe it. We went to have Beck have her ears pierced for her birthday, which is cruel because she ran into the doctor's bathroom and locked the door screaming. We should have listened at the time. That, what are we doing here? Didn't know that at the time. Did they grow shut or are you still doing the ear piercing thing? Really? Okay. It's a weird thing. I guess God didn't have to put those there. There's no reason for that little spot right there except for earrings. Or for slave rings. Come with me when you're a kid. Jerry, remember this? Come with me. You never got the soft treatment, huh? John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. I did that one. We're looking at Romans 7. Sorry, Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 18. Now, we must have forgotten this verse because it says here, for I know... Right? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that this morning? I mean, you may get up in the morning and you may have a nice suit and a nice dress and all that kind of good stuff, and you got, you know, one of these ivory complexions and all this kind of stuff, but you know, inside, you're nothing. Nothing, no good thing dwelleth in there at all. I don't care how much you've been to school. I don't care how much you've done this and talked right and done right and all this kind of stuff. That's all because of the Lord. That is not because of you. Paul is very clear. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. It doesn't say, I don't think that in me probably not dwell a whole lot of good things. No, there is none. We need to know that this morning. If we knew that this morning, we wouldn't be upset about talking about cremation, possibly. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You've heard for 8 years since I've been here, at least the last 3 or 4, what we need to do this right. We're learning how Paul's going to tell us how to please God, and yet how to do it, have we found out? Have we found how to do all this yet? No. Well, we know, yeah, Jesus Christ will follow him and everything will work right. He'll talk right, eat right, drink right, wear right, look right, go to the right places, not quit going to the wrong places if we just follow the Lord. But we just haven't found out how to follow the Lord yet. Why not? Because we're still inside this body. This body fights it all the time. For the good that I would... I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And don't anybody sit there this morning and think, oh, I don't do that. You're lying to yourself. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 2 that separated my soul from my flesh, I would be concerned about cremation. But I'm not, because I'm not part of this thing right here. The other day I was looking on the video and I thought my shirt was untucked. And it wasn't. It was me. I couldn't believe it. I look in the shadows and it looked like I got bumps. What is this? Man, I'm sick of this flesh already. And I hardly feel like I used to. Amen? You remember the early buffets? 3, 4 times, all that kind of stuff? I just can't do that anymore. My flesh is really irritating me lately. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We're not sinners. The sin is not ever imputed to us again. We're just bad doers. And all those bad works are going to get tossed into the fire, and we're going to receive for the bad, and we're going to receive for the good. But we don't sin anymore. Sin still sins. And it does it through this ridiculous body, wicked body. It's the flesh that's doing it. So really, it's not your fault. Go down to the bar tonight. I don't know what I'm doing here. It's not me. Or you come home and you kids can try this. You do something you weren't supposed to do, and you come home and you just tell Mom, it wasn't me. It was the sin that dwelt in. I'm sorry. I didn't do that. It's true. If you're saved. And the mom and dad can hit you. I'm sorry, that was a sin that dwelleth in me too. Now don't do that anymore. No. It works both ways. Romans 13:14, then you get on your knees and you pray together and you get on with your day. Then you forget about it. Why do you think Paul says, man, I just want out? Paul, who had been there and had to come back. Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, he wasn't just there with the Bible. I mean, he was there face to face. He was up with the Lord. And then I imagine he was thrilled. I bet you he was just having, it was a great time. And then the Lord gave him the news. Hey, Paul, I want you to go back. What? I want you to go back in that body down there. You're serious? I'm serious. I want you to go back there and tell them all what's going on. Knowing Paul, he probably said, okay. Because I want other people to have what I've got up here. And that's what we're trusting. And we are trusting, not just because Paul has said this, and not just because Paul has, it's written in a Bible that everybody claims to be a holy, inspired, preserved Bible. No, it's because I believe Paul was there, Paul saw it, and he knows what he has to come back to tell us, and he suffered far more than any of our flesh is ever going to have to suffer, just so he can tell us that. Cremation, what a worthless issue. It's all about our death time and the body. People can use the book and they can say it's not right, but you know what? They're wrong. Your bones are bones. Your flesh is flesh. 1 Corinthians says this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Okay, so if the flesh can't glory in his presence, that means when you're present to him, there won't be any flesh. So who cares what they do to your flesh? If you would like, you can even have a funeral here for me. You can put my body on a rack, and you can come up and you can whack it with one of the hammers. I don't care. It'd be kind of not a good thing. The press would make a big deal out of that. But I wouldn't. Those of you who always wanted to wring my neck, I'll have them sit me in a chair before they bury me, and we'll have a dotted line right here with an arrow. Okay, come on up here. I would want to do this. You know? Wouldn't bother me at all. Wouldn't bother anybody. And it shouldn't bother you if somebody wanted to do that. I'm over at Louie's. I'm watching Louie doing the farming. And one of those wrench, one of those combine things, the tire happened to be driving, falls apart. Boom, here comes this nut flying through the air. Boom, nails me. I'm instantly dead. Tyler walks over, I never liked you, boom, kicks me in the side. Wouldn't bother me. And it shouldn't bother anybody. Tyler's one of the problem, not me. If he wants to kick me, kick me. You know, I've been kicked before. You know? Flesh is nothing. Your flesh today is nothing. Why do you keep saying that? Because I see some of you are not happy this morning with this mess. I can just tell. How can you tell? Turn the camera on. I'll let you look at it tonight. We remember, this is an excellent one to me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Uh-oh, I'm good. Ephesians 5, 30. This is a marvelous one. Ephesians 5, verse 30. We are members of what? His body. Of his what? And of his? I have no clue how that is. But that is what it says. I don't need to be concerned about my body because I'm a member of his. And it nails it down. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So I don't care what they do with my body. I don't care what they do with my flesh. I don't care what they do with my bones. And I don't care how you got them to that final product. Burn me? Steamroll me? What about those Chinese guys that were steamrolled for being a Christian? Lay down and imagine they started at their feet. And they ran a steam. This is recently, last 4 years ago probably. Ran a steamroll right over those Christian Chinese people because they said they were Christians. And they wouldn't say the Lord is worthless and all that kind of stuff. Right over them. Oh, come on, I bet you that was a joy. Probably was for them. But you better know that you're a member of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Like I say, I don't know how that's possible, but that's what he says. That's faith. That's faith. First Peter says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man is the flowers of grass. And look at how much we spend on our lawns. We do the same thing for our flesh. Well, we want to have a good testimony for the yard? Sure we do. We want to have a good testimony from our flesh? Sure we do, because we want people to see that all we have is glorious. So, I hired Mike to mow the lawn twice a week. It looks nice. You got the nice little angle up there, like it's a baseball field. That looks nice. That's fine. It's going to grow back. It's got weeds in it. It's got worms and maggots and a few ladybugs I've noticed. But it's still just grass. And if I don't keep that thing trimmed, it'll turn into a disaster. Got to keep this thing trimmed up a little bit. It's going to turn into a disaster. But one of these days, that lawn is not going to get mowed. It's going to turn into weeds. One of these days, earth is going to be cremated. Are they going to get mad then? Environmental's going to get upset because the earth burnt the earth without an environmental statement? Same thing's going to happen to the grass is going to happen to our flesh. Matthew, for what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then for the website folks that are out there, I end this thing up by talking about people are more concerned about the burning of their body than they are of their soul. And I'd have to be fair to ask everybody here, are you upset about this sermon this morning because it talks about death and it's kind of a rude and crude, you're making fun of it, irreverent thing about death? Death is death. Your body is going to burn, it's going to rot, it's going to stink, it's going to smell, it's going to be ugly, it's going to be ground, it's going to be burnt and crisp and fried and mechanicalized, grinded into a bunch of bones. Man, who cares? Who absolutely cares? Go the cheapest route you can possibly go because it doesn't matter. What's important this morning is where is your soul going to be when that process is taking place? My soul is going to be with the Lord. And don't anybody here think that you can't be dead before this day's over with. I don't care if you're 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 80, wherever you're at, this might be your last sermon. And I remember a long time ago I said, I'd like to be able to preach where I would think that was my last sermon. And if I died this afternoon, if I had a slow process and I had a 30-minute time to die, I would be thinking, oh man, I should have told. I've been wanting to tell that to Jerry. I never did. I've wanted to tell this to Bill and Brenda. I've been wanting to tell this to Mike and Sue and Lewis. And I'm not getting the stuff said, Lord. And he's going to say, oh, well, you had your chance, brother. You had your chance. And you didn't do it. And I still love you, blah, blah, blah. Come on up. This is time to go. It's your appointment time. I can't change the appointed time, right? So I go up there, and he's getting, now listen, why didn't you talk to Dina? Well, you know, why didn't you talk to Lewis? Why didn't you talk to Sue? What about Tyler? What about Marcy? Sam? Well, there's always something I wanted to say, Lord, but was it just me or was it you? Well, would you have thought of this stuff? Well, no, then it was him. Okay, why don't you tell him that? If we lived every day like it was our last day, let's not do that stupid one that says, tomorrow's the first day of the rest of your life. I hate that thing. It's true. I hate it. Let's live like today might be your last one.
What are you doing for the Lord? Who do you want to talk to that you haven't talked to? You talk to him tomorrow. What are you going to have tomorrow?
You want to do something different as a husband. You might not have tomorrow. You want to do something different as a wife. You might not have tomorrow. You might not even have this afternoon. You mad at somebody in here? You might not be able to ever tell them, man, I'm sorry. Never again. How many people, the reason they're crying at a funeral is because they never got a chance to talk to their family again. Now, I wish, one of the things that Our Lady's daughter said, I was going to take, she loves to go to the mountains. She just loves to go to the mountains, Our Lady from Thursday. And the daughter said, I always like to take her up, and she likes to pass the horses, and she just loves to ride through the mountains. She's in a wheelchair, so she couldn't do anything. That was her earthly joy, to take her ride through the mountains. And his daughter said, I didn't take her to the mountains. I was going to do it next weekend. And gone. Didn't get that final ride to the mountains, you know. How many of us know when we're going to go? We just don't know that. So let's not get tweaked about what's going to happen to this body. Burn it. Go fishing in the Columbian boat and explode all over the boat when they find it. I mean, what's going to happen? It's gross. This is a gross piece of machinery here. You know that. Every one of you in here, every one of you is just, ah! The only people that think that you're a piece of beautiful is just yourself. Maybe that's why there's no smiles this morning. Good morning. Oh, you are just so good to see you this morning. Dad, I need the bathroom. I'll be there in a minute. Oh, man. You know? That can't be the case. Amen? And it does change as you get older, too. God makes it easier. He makes it easier to quit falling in love with your body. Oh, I look so much like my dad. And those things used to irritate me. Dad, you're looking old. Got these little spots right here. Oh, those are Lyle spots. You know? Oh. Yep, even now and then I'll be at somebody's house, I'll be eating dinner with you, and I'll look at my hands and... you know? And I'm not mocking those of you that kind of have that. You know? Ladies spend millions of dollars to get rid of that. Look at this. You know, yours is going to be that the Lord carries. I can see your veins right there. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Hey, wife. Let's start over. You know? Yeah, it's like when you get all done cleaning the cart. Man, that's one good-looking fish, boy. Look at all the guts and the scales and, you know, all that stuff. You know? All this, like Beck said, all the stuff that we get upset about our bodies, you know, and yet when a little kid spits up, us men, you know, yeah. But just imagine what you're going to look like about 2 years after you die. Some of us aren't going to look a whole lot different, amen. But we all go down the boat. Let's stand, we'll dismiss of this thing. I hope everybody in here this morning has got their soul taken care of. Because if you have, this is a joke. This is silly to think that King James Bible-believing Christians would get upset about death and cremation. You know? Your soul is going to be with the Lord. And like Paul said, it is worth dying over to get to that thing. So when are you going to die? Both ladies and gentlemen and Jerry, we need to die today. If you're saved, you died once anyway. People don't want to get saved because they don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to die to the world. They don't want to die to TV. They don't want to die to all this junk that's out there because they're snookered by it. You need to die to yourself and live with the Lord and let the world take care of your body. God's going to give us an all new one. A great one. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. I thank you, Lord, that
you take things for us in this Bible and you take them that are so serious for the world out there that you just bring them to the right perspective. Lord, I thank you that I don't get this body. And I still to this day feel awful about what this body has done. This flesh is a wicked thing. And I'm so thankful that you not only took my soul, cut my soul away from this body, I thank you for telling me about it. It's nice to know, Lord. And it's good, Lord, that we can be encouraged today by the truth. If anybody this morning is not encouraged by this message, then they took it wrong. And I don't expect anybody, Lord, to not understand this morning. I think the folks that are in this room understand totally about the subject of cremation and our bodies. Lord, I think it'd be good if we give our folks a testimony at our funeral about a body being resurrected, and we're in the grave, we're in the coffin there, and all that. That's a good testimony to give to people. But Lord, I'm more concerned about right now, what kind of a testimony do we give to our family and friends by what we are living today? It's going to be hard for us in our funeral to make up for all the dumb things we've done in our life that our people have seen. A pastor can stand there and preach all he wants at a funeral, but if our testimony hasn't been one of you, then they're not going to believe us anyway. But I thank you for the opportunity to preach at Wanda's funeral. And I pray, Lord, that somebody there has already sought your truth. I just ask if you would bless the folks that are here today. Bring us all back tonight again, Lord. It's so good to see the pews filled up. Lord, if this could be this way all the time, there would be more people that would see that there are folks that trust your Bible to be the Word of God. And they trust this church for what is preached and taught. They would trust this church for the fellowship that's here. But most of all, that they would trust you. And I thank you for the privilege and the honor to be able to tell somebody about this Bible. I would just wish for the my flesh would back off. And I wouldn't be concerned about things. I would just let you preach and you teach. Take us all home today to do the jobs we need to do. And I pray, Lord, that we come back and hear what the will is. Preach about the will tonight. Your will. Not ours, but yours. I pray, Lord, for just the folks that are here. I thank you for this day. Amen. I'll have it cooler tonight.